Dr. Kevin Most joins us a little bit early today because we want to do at least talk about last week's festivities before we get to what's going to happen now to your health care by just going back to Obamacare. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. You doing okay?
Feeling pretty good, actually, yeah. And I want to thank Dr. Ambler. I want to thank Brian. Brian, the transport guy at the hospital, couldn't be a nicer guy. And a bunch of other folks here. I mean, your staff, your nursing staff, everybody at Central DuPage Hospital. Tremendous folks.
Well, thank you. That's, you know, it takes a team effort to take care of patients and to make sure we treat them safely and with courtesy and respect. And, you know, I think people think, oh, well, Steve's a celebrity, and that's why he got that treatment. And I can assure you that everybody gets that treatment here.
Yeah, even though I am a huge diva.
You are.
Yeah, and
catching
Annie
for crab legs in the morning is probably
Annie the nurse could not have been nicer. They're all great. Anyway, all right. So here's the brief on what happened. I had bronchitis for a second time, and I was having trouble breathing, and I thought, well, that's the bronchitis. I went in to see the doctor because I had a pulmonary embolism, blood clots in my lungs back in 2005. They said, we got a history here. Let's run a check. The initial check found nothing. 2 days later, the shortness of breath was worse. They did a CT scan and found that I had blood clots in my lungs, or in other words, another pulmonary embolism. Put me in the hospital, got me on blood thinners, and sent me home Saturday. So let's start with the basics here. What is a pulmonary embolism so people understand?
Yeah. So our blood, we need our blood to clot. When we're cut, when we have surgery, we need it to clot. What we don't want it to do is clot when it doesn't need to. Unfortunately, some people will put themselves in situations or have medical conditions where they do clot. And when they have that clot and it loosens up, it flows from the legs often up into the right side of the heart, and then it's pushed into the lungs. And in the lungs, it's blocking now blood flow to the lungs and can cause, unfortunately, a death in some people. So it's essentially a blood clot that has traveled from your legs into your lungs.
So how is that different than a DVT?
Well, the DVT is the clot. So deep venous thrombosis, that is the clot. And that when that DVT loosens up or frees up or a portion of it comes off, that is what the clot is that's going to the lung. So the DVT is what starts it. And as it moves, that goes into the heart and then into the lungs. And that's where your damage happens.
Okay, so behind my left knee, let me show you this on camera. Behind my left knee, I have a clot now. They think that that was the source and that that's where this was shearing off, for lack of a better word, and creating this breathing problem. And because I had the previous experience, I knew that there may be an issue here. And between Dr. Ambler and my own concern, we got it figured out very quickly. But for people that have never gone through that or don't know what it feels like, what do you say to them?
Well, two things. One, kudos to Dr. Ambler. He's a great guy. He's a great doc. This time of the year, I can't tell you how many people are coming in saying, you know what, I'm coughing and I'm a little short of breath. And to just push that off and say, oh, don't worry about it, you're going to get better, for him to take those additional steps essentially could have been life-saving. So what we really need to talk to people about is, because they don't know when they have a blood clot in their legs. Some people will. They'll say, why is my right leg bigger than my left? Why is this warm? Why is this red? Sometimes it looks like it may be an infection. The other big thing is where your clot was behind your knee. People that are going to be sitting in a position for a long time, think about blood flow. Anytime there's a kink in the vein, like when you're sitting down right now, the blood slows down to a point where it can clot. So that's why we tell people, don't sit for long periods of time. Don't take long car rides. We're driving all the way to Florida, and we're not going to get out of the car. Bad idea. Airplane rides, anything greater than 2 hours, make sure you get up and move around. Because when your legs are bent like that, the blood slows to a point where clots can form.
I actually have my leg elevated because I'm smarter than I look now.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I have something called an antithrombin 3 deficiency. It's just one of my many deficiencies, Doc, as you know.
Yes.
And there's a thing called a factor 5 Leiden syndrome. These are various, kind of rare, not terrible. In my case, the AT3 thing I think is pretty rare, but the factor 5 thing, not so much. But these tend to give me or people who deal with that more of a propensity to have blood clots. So you got to be careful with flying and all the other things you just spoke about with sitting still for long.
Correct. Yeah, so when we clot, it's just not a simple, oh, we're not clotting and then we're clotting. There's a cascade event that happens that tells our body and tells our platelets and tells red blood cells to clump and clot. When people have different factors that they're either missing or there's too much of them, then they have a higher propensity to clot, to form clots. If you find that out early in life, it's often life-saving because then we can treat you with medications. The anticoagulation that you're going to be on, that you've been on in the past, stops that from happening. Now, we are going to still tell you, don't sit for long periods of time, get up and exercise, move around, do all the other things. But at least the medication that we're going to give you is going to make it harder for those clots to form.
Well, I feel dramatically better than when I went into the hospital on Thursday, but how do I know, or how does anybody know who's going through this or has gone through this, that they're getting better? Because the weird part is, and this is the tough part to wrap your head around, the medication stems the tide of the clot, and as I understand it, Doc, keeps the clot from being active in getting worse, but the body actually takes care of getting rid of those clots. So it's a little weird thinking you're walking around with blood clots in your lungs or in your legs. So how do I know I'm getting better?
Yeah, exactly. And what you said is very important because people think, oh, I'm taking the blood thinners. They're going to dissolve that clot away and it's going to be gone. When in fact, no, that's not the case. We do have medications that can help dissolve clots, TPA being one of them. And in some cases, if it's bad, we'll go in and surgically remove the clot. But for the most part, what's going to happen is we're going to stop that clot from getting bigger and we're going to stop more clots from forming with the blood thinners. So for you, it's all based on your symptoms. That unexplained shortness of breath, that cough, that rapid breathing, those are the signs that are saying, okay, boy, I don't feel so short of breath anymore. I can walk up that ramp at work and I'm not short of breath. I can go up a flight of stairs. You know, unexplained shortness of breath is probably one of the biggest things here. So really for you, it's going to be watching your symptoms and then also looking for any of those signs of DVTs. Do you have any pain in your legs? Do you have any swelling in your legs? Any redness in your legs? Those are going to be the big ones for you.
And obviously for anybody, it's work out more, lose weight, get more sleep, and just be generally more healthy. It fixes everything.
Yeah, it really is. You know, keeping active and moving is probably the biggest thing. Don't sit on the couch all day. Get up and move around. And if you have to sit, if you're in an airplane and it's turbulence and, you know, 4 hours you have to sit there, stretch out your legs and at least move your ankles and calves so that you're at least moving as much as you can. But try not to get in a position where you're going to stay at one time with those legs bent, because they're slowing down your blood flow at two places, one at your knees, one at your hips. Think about the tubes and where that kink would be, just like if it was a hose. That's where the blood flow slows down and you have a higher chance of a clot forming.
So whether you have a cold or not, shortness of breath that's significant, like in my case, walking 200 yards from the car to the radio station, it felt like I'd run a mile, in a sprint. That is a significant sign. Also, if your calf, either calf, is swollen, sensitive to touch, red in color or warm to the touch, yep, those are all warning signs, and don't miss any of them. Get to the doctor.
Absolutely. And you know what? And the doctor, for the most part, tell him your concern. Say, hey, you know what? I'm concerned about a pulmonary embolism. Now, he may say, okay, let me tell you why I don't think it is, or let's make sure that we test to make sure that it's not. Because we have a lot of people that have pulmonary embolisms across this country. And a lot of them, even someone like you, where yours was a showered effect, some of them go undiagnosed, that doesn't get any worse. The shower goes away, and now all of a sudden you're starting to feel better, and you're like, wow, I had this terrible cold. You can't believe my bronchitis and shortness of breath that I had.
Yeah, but it turns out it was much more serious.
Yep.
Dr. Kevin Most on the Obamacare continuing situation and what it means for providers. Thanks for all that, Doc, first, and then we'll come back and do some more in a second. We'll get to the big story before we get to any of that next on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Back to Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. And Doc, welcome back.
He's from Central.
He'll join us in just a second.
Yep.
There you are. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning.
Thanks for the continued service here. Before we go any further, somebody on the text line asked about compression socks in our previous discussion, pulmonary embolisms, DVTs, blood clots in general.
Yep. So compression stocks, they're kind of hit and miss. Some people they work well with, other people they don't. And mainly it is because of the fit. So sometimes they're too tight, sometimes they're too loose, so they really often don't work. So they've kind of, some people have taken them and kind of fallen out of vogue just because of the inability to size them properly and are really pushing exercise more. Although some people still wear them and it works well. So it's really one of those discussions, have with your doctor, make sure you can be fit properly before you say, I'm just going to go into the store and buy some.
And you were talking about a cough before. I had one other question too, and that is, I still have a cough, which I don't. You know, I'm not coughing up blood or anything, but I mean, right. I feel like I've had the cough for most of the year from the bronchitis. So it's another one of those, what's it coming from things?
Yeah. And that's tough. Like this time of the year, like I said, you know, you got all these people with upper respiratory infections. You got trees popping right now. So you got the possibility of allergies causing this and upper respiratory viral infections causing this, bacterial infections causing it. Pulmonary embolism way down on the road there when you're looking at, if you were in Vegas, you'd put a lot more money on X than you would on pulmonary embolism. But still, it should be that sign that, you know, we always tell people coughs are going to last maybe 3 weeks. Anything beyond that, and cough associated with shortness of breath, that's more of a red flag.
Is there much action in the Vegas books on pulmonary embolisms? Is the pulmonary embolism book not a lot of money being made there?
No, not right now.
Okay.
No.
So here's what we want to do. We're going to get an update from Mary on the traffic. And then, Doc, when we come back, we'll start by talking about what some of our own insurance issues are. And, Andrea, I don't know if you have any with our insurance, or Dave, or Mary, but or Sandberg, Jake, any of you guys. We'll go with some whiny staff questions about it.
Excellent.
I have one myself.
Excellent.
Because we want to know, now that the Republicans had their massacre Friday and Obamacare stays, what does it mean for the rest of us? And, Andrea, keep an eye on those texts. If we get a good text question in at 312-981-7200, we'll try to pop a couple of those as well. More with Dr. Kevin Most, but first here's Mary with the cars. All right, we'll get to our whiny staff questions coming up. But first, Doc, let's go over some of the basics on the Republican failure to repeal and replace Obamacare and the fact that Obamacare for the immediate future, and I'm talking about, you know, several months. The earliest they'll take this up again, I would think, would be the fall session. But let's go over some of the basics here. The individual mandate stays in place, right?
Correct. Which is probably one of, at least in my opinion, one of the bigger points. You know how insurance works. If you don't get in a car accident, you say, why am I paying all this money for my insurance? But when you get in an accident, you're certainly happy that you had the insurance. Same in healthcare. You know, we need these individuals who aren't going to use it to make it so that the insurance companies at least can be profitable or close to profitable in caring for those who do need it. It's just the business of insurance, unfortunately.
Right, and the only way for the insurance to work is that everybody pays.
Right, which is exactly what we saw here at the beginning of the Affordable Care Act. The fine for not getting insurance was so low that all of these healthy individuals said, you know what, I'm going to stay out. And you saw a rush for people with chronic illnesses that had been waiting for this opportunity to get insurance go in. So when that happens, the insurance companies got crushed. And so now you're starting to see the premiums go up. The fine has gone up to a point now where almost everybody's in because the fine is about what you would pay for your premium. So you might as well have it instead of pay the fine and not get anything. But it's the actuaries that kind of missed out on this because the math didn't work those first couple years.
And the problem really comes down to, it's not about premiums, because one of the big sales points is always your premiums will stay the same or go down. Well, I think everybody's premiums are fairly manageable, but it's the crazy deductibles.
Absolutely. You know, if you look across this country and you say, gosh, oh, everyone has insurance now. Well, they do, but if they did have something catastrophic happen to them, they may have a $5,000 deductible. These people are living paycheck to paycheck in many cases, and even the premium is making them decrease their standard of living right now. So if we think that they have the money in their accounts to pay for that deductible, that's a very mistaken thought.
As you go forward with this and the impact being felt across the country, we got a lot of insurance companies who are either dropping out or say they're going to drop out. Now, there was a big political point made that Aetna dropped out, and that was another example of the fact that Obamacare was failing. To be politically fair about this, Aetna tried to have a merger that the government turned down, and that's the reason they're backing out. But what do you know from a provider standpoint, as you guys being one of the major hospitals in the country, What does it mean for you guys?
Oh, it's huge for us for a couple of reasons. One, you know, if your marketplace has a lot of plans, then you have to decide which plans you're going to be in. And that's a decision that the hospital needs to make, and then doctors need to make it. And then the patients are saying, well, wait a second, is my doctor in the plan? Is the hospital in the plan? So when you get it down to just a few, you know, okay, so hospitals are going to be in three plans, we'll say, on the marketplace. You're going to hope that the doctors are, because now you have patients that are kind of between a rock and a hard place going, wait a second, I want to go to Dr. Smith, but he's not in this plan. And the only plan I can afford is this one. And now my specialist is downtown, or now my specialist is 20 miles away. And now I have to go to a different hospital. So we have to figure a way that it's affordable and local so that patients in the community can still receive care from the specialist and primary care docs in the community and the hospitals in those communities.
And there's a couple of things that are fairly innovative, but may not be fair in the long run. I don't know, that we'll get to in a second. Andre, what am I missing here? What do you have for me?
I think, you know, the main question that I have, and I always bring this up to you too, Steve, I just want to make sure, you know, now that everything's staying in place, when we go back to what was Obamacare and will continue to be Obamacare, at least for now, will deductibles stay in place? I know a lot of time, kind of midpoint of the year is when we start thinking about next year and renewing and everything like that. Will we see any sort of an increased doc, either in deductibles, premiums, prescription drugs, anything of that sort, as we stand right now?
Yeah, I still think that you're going to see an increase in premiums next year. I don't think that they're going to get it right this year. They look at some of the increases in Illinois. Those premiums have gone up 40-45%. Now, if they shot too far, are they going to drop the premiums? I doubt that's going to happen because they took such a financial hit in the past 2 years. So premiums, I would expect, are going to still go up a little bit. I don't think you can make the deductibles go up any higher. I mean, I think that that's not going to be a selling point for someone to rush into something that now has a $10,000 or $12,000 deductible, unless the individual mandate pushes them there.
Explain what Advocate Healthcare is doing, and I don't know if this is fair or good, or I can't kind of wrap my head around it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's fair and it's good. I have a lot of friends at Advocate. You know, obviously, if you look at medicine, we all compete against each other. But Advocate is a great health system, and they have some great doctors, and they have some great innovation. And what they did is they went to Blue Cross and said, you know what, we want to partner with you, Blue Cross, to make an Advocate plan. And one of the restrictions are going to be that if you take the Advocate plan, you're going to see an Advocate doctor, and you're going to receive care at an Advocate hospital. But because of the way that they're managed right now, they could offer that at a lower premium than some of the other plans. So you did see patients going, wait a second, Good Samaritan in Downers Grove, that's my hospital. My doctor is an Advocate doctor who goes there. I can have this plan. I know that my doctor's in it, and I know my hospital's in it, and it's less expensive. I'm going to go with it. So Advocate has kind of figured out a way to lower the premium and still deliver the care that they want and attract patients to their hospital.
Kind of genius in some ways, I guess, huh?
Absolutely. It's brilliant. You know, and as long as they've done the math right and their actuaries are right, they may hit a home run here.
Let's go to the whiny staff questions. Andrea, what are your concerns?
I had mine. I know Mary has a concern, too. Not about me, but...
You're covered. Is Andrea covered on Mary's insurance?
Yeah. Which would be fine, Mary.
Pat and I can adopt her.
That'd be great.
Be our child.
All right, Sandberg, what's your question?
I want to know if there's ever any like negotiating with the insurance. I just had my annual exams, and I have the type of insurance where your annual female type appointments are covered 100%. However, apparently, my doctor, who's in network and it's covered 100%, uses a lab that is not covered.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
So I owe money because they use an out-of-network lab. But how would I ever even know that? Can I complain?
You absolutely can complain. You can complain to your doctor. You can also complain to that lab, so that sometimes they'll just take what's normal and customary and won't have you have that additional charge. And what, it's very interesting what you said, because a lot of patients don't realize that even in hospitals, the anesthesiologists, the radiologists, the emergency room doctors, they often don't work for the hospital. Those are independent groups, and you have to hope that they're in the plans as well. Now, at CDH, we say, hey, if you're going to practice here in anesthesia, you need to be in these plans, because we don't want to mislead those patients. But in many cases, that's not true. So the lab one is a big issue, because lab bills can be huge. So if you're going to your doctor and he says you need to have this lab test done, ask that question. Do they take my insurance? Because if they don't, you can find a lab that does. You can bring in your little slip of paper that says I need my cholesterol tested, and they will do it on a lab that covers that is covered by your plan. So it's a great question to ask.
Well done. Mary Vandeville.
Oh, yeah, I was just reading some of these texters' questions, actually. And, you know, there's basic concerns about somebody who brings home $360 a week with other bills they have. How can they afford Obamacare at $300 to $500 a month, depending on coverage? And do they qualify for Medicaid?
Is it going to be, Doc, is it going to be some sort of, because Medicaid and Medicare are going to stay largely the same, though there are some changes with Obamacare as well. Yep. It's not like the Republican thing. But, Doc, is there going to be some way to help people cover these deductibles? There's got to be a business there.
Well, absolutely. Well, there's a couple of things that are going on there. And to Mary's question, you know, the individual who is bringing home a small amount of money, a lot of these plans are heavily subsidized to a point where they aren't paying the premium at all. So it depends on where you fall in the federal poverty level as far as what your premium is. So when we're talking about premiums of $1,000, you know, for the individual who falls at a certain poverty level, they may not pay anything. It may be covered completely, or they also may, as Steve just pointed out, qualify for Medicaid. So those are the two issues there with that. What was your other question, Steve? Because it was a good one.
Well, I was just bringing up the fact that there seems to be a business that could be developed to help subsidize people who can't afford the deductibles.
Absolutely. So it's interesting. Even out here, we have a thing called Access to Page. And what we did is we looked and we said, wow, these individuals who have the bronze plan can't afford that deductible. But if we moved them to a silver plan, they could. But they can't afford it. But a group of community members here and hospitals and a bunch of individuals put a pile of money together and said, you know what, if you're in the bronze plan and you qualify, we will upgrade you to the silver plan. So it's great for patients in the community. It's also good for the hospitals and good for the others in the community, because now you have people who have affordable health care and they're not afraid of that deductible and they're going to continue to seek care. It's happened here in DuPage County. It's happened across the country, and it's something that the community should look into to say that individual who can only afford the bronze plan, you know what, you can all upgrade him to the silver plan. He's going to get much better care.
Dave, we're way late here, but I don't want to leave you out of whiny questions. Do you have anything?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Dave's the picture of health. All right, that's good to know.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, please, yeah. You are. You're Kale. Mr. Atlas.
Kale will still be covered in most plans, so don't worry.
Thank God.
Excellent. Thank you, Dave.
Because we know it's deadly. Ryan Nobles from CNN coming up. Doc, great information, and thank you again to everybody at CDH and Northwestern for saving my behind, even though that's not where the problem was. I will talk to you later, bud.
You got it. Take care.